Hallelujah. Stay with me. Don't go anywhere. Just if you're up at the front, stay with it. We're going to continue to worship. We're going to have some praise at the end of the service, but not now. But God interrupted my week. I hope He always interrupts me. Today we're just going to flow with the Holy Spirit and listen. But as I was preparing this week in prayer and fastings, giving myself over to God, the Lord said to me, I want you to go over one more time, just even quickly, the eight operations, the eight demonic spirits that have come against the church. Because He said, I want the people to know that they're in a war, and the war is because they're so close to receiving what they've been asking for so long a time. And I want you to understand something this morning, that in just a moment we're going to give praise and worship to God. And we're going to worship Him because He's bringing us through, and that because we're going to, you might as well just say, spit in the eye of the devil. Sometimes you got to spit in the eye of the devil. If you are a person that is in a battle and you're walking forward going into revival, the worst thing you can do at this time is to cow down in any way. Against your emotions, against your finances, against your body. Well, let me just read these. I could probably remember them all by name, but I don't want to miss any of them. The Lord came to me last year and said there are eight demonic spirits specifically designed to come against the church of the revivalists, those that are purifying themselves and purging themselves and desiring to go into God. He said the first one would be a spirit of infirmity would attack the church. And there would be people that have had infirmities, people that were healthy, and people that were not so healthy in the past. Things would come back, and they would try to reseed themselves. And the Lord said this to me. He said, it wasn't that the saints were guilty of the things that they were being accused of, but He would try His best to try to pull them aside and make them feel that they were part of what He was coming to divert them with. He said the spirit of division would come. We've run into the spirit of division. People have left this house in the last 2 years that we love especially. They're just wonderful people of God. They just ran into a spirit that they couldn't get past. But we're believing God for them. He said lust and perversion would come and try to draw people away, and men or women, but especially men, try to divide the home, try to destroy the marriages, try to destroy men's lives. And even though they were revivalists, things would come and attack their imaginations. He said that there would be another gospel, a spirit of another gospel that would be very close to what we teach, but there would be people that would leave because it was more exciting what they heard. Because it was real close, but it was just one degree off. He said diversions would come. All kinds of diversions. A lukewarm kind of spirit, like I've had this or I've felt this before and you've been teaching this, or we're going to receive revival for years, Pastor, but where is it? I'm telling you, it is among us. Amen. It's here now. Amen. Revival is now. Hallelujah. How about that testimony of my brother-in-law that has been completely, without chemo, without medications, completely went from a bed of hospice that was going to die within just a few weeks. And they said, we're cutting off chemo. We're cutting off any therapy. Last week, he got the confirming word, no more cancer in your body. No more cancer. He said, I knew the hour, I knew the moment, I knew the day when you prayed, when we prayed and anointed that prayer cloth. And he was watching and he said, something happened. My body, something happened, a change took place. Something, I'll say it this way, he said, in essence, something came into my body. Well, I know who it was. Jesus. Excuses. Destruction of reasonings. Destruction of reasonings. Now, I shared this morning. I shared a message last year that run somebody off. And I talked to him personally. I said, because they said, you preached it right at me. Do you know when I preach a message, there's usually about 8 or 10 of you sometimes going through the same thing? And none of you know it. And you think you're the only one going through it. I said, no, no, no. It was, so I'm going to say this before so none of you run off. I've spoke to at least 3 different people, mature people, that weren't throwing in the towel, mature spiritual people, in the last few weeks, men and women. And they said, something, I don't know, I didn't even talk to anybody about it to start with, but they finally expressed it, or felt they could, and it wasn't necessarily in desperation, they weren't ready to quit, I'm not saying that, but they said, I've felt so insignificant. I felt like everybody else had a call, or God was taking care of everybody else, but he had forgotten where I was at. He'd forgotten my ministry. He'd forgotten my name. He forgot about me. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because all of us could feel that way at times. Well, God, they're blessed. What about me? They're doing okay. Or their ministry is taking off. What about, where'd you go, God? You know, I was shaving this morning and the Holy Spirit said to me, and he wasn't saying it about that particular bunch, but he said, this enemy of destruction of reasonings, this is the last devil. He said, it's been so strong against some people's minds. They've even thought, I said it to the group in there. I said the word suicide, but it was more subtle than that. It was like, I don't even really care if I live. I don't care. I just soon die or be killed or go in my sleep. And some people the enemy's come and he said, you've missed God. 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 And God's not with you. And then he'll come with feelings of jealousy. And he's the one bringing it, but he'll accuse you of, you're the one. You're the one. He's a big, fat liar. And we're revivalists. I'm going to scoot this back so you can come up here. Because I want people that are real. I don't want spiritual giants back there saying, maybe you have got past it. And I hope you are. But I need people to humble themselves and say, Lord, I'm just spitting in the eye of the devil. I'm just yielding. This is me, oh God. And don't do this. When I grew up in the church, so I've seen it all. I've seen altar calls and different things, and people would come and they would stand, and other people that wanted to give in or wanted to show up, like, yeah, I've been fighting the same battle, they'd come up and stand right here, Carl. Face that way. They'd come up like they'd come up and they'd lay their hand on them like, I'm going to pray for them. And I'm thinking, you silly outfit, you come up for yourself, but you're throwing all the attention off on somebody else. I don't need no God's helpers up here today. I don't need no mighty warriors up here today laying hands on somebody. I want you to come and stand. Marty, you know the song. Go ahead. I'm going to scoot this back. Hallelujah. I want you to come and stand if you're out there. Come on now. Say this with me. I say
devil, you're a liar.
I am
what God says I
am.
I am.
The man of God,
the
woman of God,
I have a ministry,
I have a call
that will be fulfilled.
I will walk in perfect health.
My finances are blessed.
My marriage is blessed.
My mind and emotions are blessed.
All demonic spirits
must
bow to the name of Jesus.
No weapon formed against me
will prosper.
I'll finish my course.
I will finish my course.
Immokalee is in revival.
America is in revival.
And we win.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Won't you greet one another?
Hallelujah.
We love you.
Praise the name of the
Lord.
This morning,
the Holy Spirit
spoke to me,
or
this week
he spoke to me
about this morning.
That's the way to
say it.
And
I knew in my
spirit that
what he wanted us to
do was what we'll
do in just a few
moments.
And that is,
again,
invite you
to the forefront
of this
auditorium
to
worship
God
more
in a
deliberate
praise.
And
I can tell
you specifically
what it's
for. I'm not going
to hide it,
and I'm not going
to skirt it
as if to...
It
is for revival.
That's
in general.
But
it is also
specifically
for Tuesday,
for the election.
I don't
even begin.
I could
say things
and it would sound
more
sarcastic about
how less
I care about
people's
opinions about
what
should or should not
be said in
church.
I think
being quiet
when you should
speak up
is
more
than sin. I think
it's almost an
abomination.
For
ministers of
God
to not give
direction
concerning
righteousness
because
they're scared of...
I
don't know what
they're scared of.
But
that's neither here nor
there.
Truth.
Homer
did an incredible
job a couple of
weeks ago in
just
laying an incredible
foundation.
Just an
incredible foundation.
And then basically
gave the
obvious, like,
you make the decision
which
candidate is
standing
on
the side of
the
choices.
Predominantly
the
biggest,
well,
there's so many.
But
the life of the
innocent.
Yeah,
that's the biggest
thing.
I'm not
sure.
I feel good.
And
I hope
that's not just
a
mental,
and
I don't think it
is. I
think it's,
but
I'm not going to
say, because
we could come
in here Wednesday
and
be
somewhat
shocked.
And
that's possible.
So
understand
that it is possible.
But
just from a
natural standpoint,
it looks
like...
But
my
hope is not
in the natural.
All the
confessing that
we've done
and the believing
that we've done.
There are
many Christians that are
blind.
They're blind.
They'll
let things like
race
or gender
be a
part of their choices.
Women's
health care.
That
they changed the
name of
murder to
women's health care.
Now,
it doesn't matter how
you dress it up
or what beautiful
name you give to it.
It's still
murder.
But
that's
coming against that
spirit.
To the
young ladies,
we want
them to understand
there's a choice.
God's
love,
God's
forgiveness.
And I
think also
that the
Holy Spirit wants to
really,
if we could
do anything, if the
church could do anything,
mainly what it
needs to do is to
get
as many
people saved
as they possibly
can.
And to
understand
the
viability,
millions of young women have been convinced that the reason why their conscience will allow them to do that because they believe that's a blob of flesh and it's not a human being. But the moment that, whether intended or not intended, scripturally, and I believe scientifically, no matter how they try to, the moment that a man's seed and a woman's egg germinate, if there's any germination, if there's any, once it's germinated, and that cell begins to multiply, a spirit is there. Now you can cut it out, or it can naturally be miscarried or whatever, and that spirit goes to heaven, and it grows up there. I guess I'm sure it does. Dave used to talk about the nurseries there, angels bouncing. He didn't have a scripture on it, but they do. They'll be there. We want healing for the mothers. We want healing for, and we want an education. But that'll only have to come through revival. Real clear politics, which I'm kind of like the guy that said I don't believe the polls that I like, and I don't believe the ones that I don't like. But right now, if you took real clear politics poll, which is, they take about, I don't know how many, 300 maybe different. They take the ones that hate Mr. Trump the worst and are mostly pro-Harris, and then any leaning conservative, and they just combine them all together. They just put them all into a big computer form and combine them all together. So to me, it's probably the closest, if there is any closest. Well, as of this morning, he had the largest lead yet in 5 of the 7 swing states, which is great. Arizona, he's really ahead. Nevada, he's strong. North Carolina, he's increased his lead. And Georgia is just really, now we're looking at close to 3 points in some of those places. That's, I'm not predicting. They've got him, it's like neck and neck in Michigan and Wisconsin. But I believe, now those are all natural things. Those are just natural things. But we have to continue to believe God. This is the most consequential election that'll ever take place. That'll ever take place. And it's because iniquity has come to a place. I do believe, not to make fun of that illustration I gave with my grandson, but I do believe that we are at a Josiah manifesto marking the history of America. Either we get a reprieve that can possibly, I don't know, I have not, I'm really praying a lot, and God's opening up my eyes, as well as a lot of people, on understanding the end time. And I'm not just, I haven't concluded all how this all works, how that we can have, and I do believe that we can and will have a revival. And it doesn't matter. A revival actually takes, and this is scary, a revival based on history, the book of Acts, a revival really takes place and is more prosperous in extreme persecution. So that's not part of the equation, who comes or who goes. Revival, that's its own. But a reformation comes out of revival, which can control, can change laws, governments, and then also prosperity. Because I can tell you this, the country is under already judgment because of 65 maybe million innocent, the innocent blood that has been offered to Baal, Molech, Ashtoreth. So the country is under judgment. If the country goes left and chooses Baal on Tuesday, then God will not forsake us because he doesn't condemn us. We'll be kept. But that doesn't mean the country will not suffer. Well, how is judgment? Well, judgment is God. Now, there is a direct judgment. I didn't expect all this. I'm kind of pontificating a little bit. There's a direct judgment in the book of Revelation. That is, it's two things. Antichrist comes and he's doing his, and then God actually, in the first part of the tribulation, especially in the first 3.5 years, there's direct, and God's doing that. I mean, it's just direct, hard things against the wicked of the earth. Right now, it's a kind of a second-hand judgment. It's kind of like judgment comes through economy, plagues, COVID. Well, did God make that up and do that? No, it's more indirect in the sense like, okay, I'm your God, and if you'll covet it with me, I'll prosper you, I'll bless you, I'll protect you. That's part of just being me being your father. But then if somebody says, no, I want to fornicate with the world. Somebody asked me recently, what's the word fornicate in the book of Revelation? It's not sexual fornication. There it is. Jezebel in the church, that's part of it. But that's really the lowest part of that revelation. Fornication is adultery with the world. It's the church having not sexual, it is sexual immature in impurities, but it's everything that people in the church have. They fornicated. They have committed sexual immoral in their life. They've committed intercourse with the world. And so God is like, and they're like, and the church, the greatest end time prophecy, part of prophecy is first the apostasy that takes place. Jude talks about it. Peter talks about it. Jesus talks about it. Paul talks about it. And they all share that there will come the church will apostatize, meaning that they will start thinking like the world. And when the church will argue with you that it really is not compassion to believe that a woman should have her rights. This is my body. What about the little body of the one that you're destroying? And that's an argument. We can't, it's not necessary, but the world has come into the church, and Jesus, or God, our Father, says, you know, I love you, but I can't follow you. So if you're going to go over there, I'm not going to follow you. In other words, I'm not going to keep blessing your finances and blessing your. See, when you start committing adultery, you start losing the blessings of God. He takes his hand comes off. You know, that's part of judgment. And America came into judgment a long time ago. But Tuesday, we've got an opportunity. It's very, very important. And so we're going to come up here and worship the Lord based on Scripture in just a moment. And I don't know. Here's the thing. I'm not I prophesy a lot, but I have not got a prophet. If he told me I would, I'd be a little scared because I know how many people have missed it in the past. I haven't had an angel come to me. I haven't had the Holy Spirit hasn't said to me, I don't know how Tuesday will go. I don't. I feel hopeful, but I don't know. And so what we're doing today is we're going to rejoice. And the Lord said, I want you to do your part as a church. Because we, part of those confessions that we had set up for you was to confess that as Jehoshaphat's army began to worship the Lord, that the Lord sent ambushments and you know, he began to confuse the enemy, and the Lord brought, and I'm going to read that because it's more than just a, it's far more than a Sunday school material. It's the real word of God. Everybody say it's the real word of God. It's very, very powerful. And so we're going to, and then we're going to participate here in a few moments and then go home. And you know, the Lord had me, I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I do whatever you want to. We're not going to have church tonight. I saw two things in my spirit. And I'll read the last one at the, it's out of Nehemiah 8 and 10 about the joy of the Lord. And then also I saw something in my spirit. I saw a picture of the Passover and how that the children of Israel went into their homes and applied the blood and just stayed in there and habitated in there while the death angel came. And in the next 72 hours, something is going to happen. There's going to be, if we could see it in the spirit realm, there's going to be an incredible war that takes place because Satan does not want a certain person to come in there. And it's going to be a fight, but I believe that God can win this fight. But I believe I saw a picture like the saints of God under that covering, and just while there's a scripture that says that you hid me while the indignation passed over, something to that extent. And it's not an indignation against us. It's a warfare in the spirit. And so for the next couple of days, I want you to just be worshiping God and believing God and believing for something very powerful to take place. I'll be teaching Tuesday night, but then I'll come out and watch and see what. Let me say this before I read this scripture. It may not even be over Tuesday. And I hope that it is over Tuesday. In other words, it may be 3 or 4 days or a week or I don't know what this is going to be. I heard Arizona is like, hey, Harry, I can't see. Pull that up so I can see I like to see your eyes. Now I can see. I heard Arizona, somebody said Arizona may be 2 weeks. I said, no, not again. No, come on. Jeff Glimba, you are the bishop of Arizona, the archbishop. You take care of that. We want election results that night. By the way, Chloe, is her birthday today? Happy birthday, Chloe, if you get to Chloe Glimba. So we may not know, but stay focused because we can still win. We can still win. And I'd love for it to all be done by, because if Florida, hey, listen, Arizona, for Florida, and Florida will know by 9 o'clock. All of our count, you know, so. $270, yes, sir. That's right. And that'll be it. That's it. It could be over, yes, by Tuesday. That's exactly right. Yes. So let's stay focused all the way through. And but the other thing too is if and on the probability that we do win, that God wins, understand this, that that's when the war starts. There will be chaos, possible chaos over the next, it may not even be over the some of the rioting. I'm not saying it's going to happen. It's possible. Because people are not going to be happy. They're not going to be happy. So keep praying. Pray over your children. Pray over President Trump and his family, because people want to, they still want to assassinate him. They still want to. And if you don't think that is a possibility, you're sadly mistaken. Now you can read with me or you can listen, but this is very, very important for us to preface this scripturally. So we talk about Joel's army, and Joel as the end time army. We talk about Josiah, the great king. Jehoshaphat was almost equally as well. He was before Josiah. Josiah was the last. He was the last great king after him. As I said, Israel had already gone into exile. But here we have Jehoshaphat. This is generations before. And this is another uptick in Judah's history where revival came. Asa was his father, which was a great man of God. And then we have Jehoshaphat here. And I'm just going to, I'm not going to be able to share everything because I've got a chapter to read here. And you're going to read along with me. Wow, maybe I'll skip some of the chapter. If you want to read about more about his life, then don't do it right now while we're teaching, but you can skip back a couple of chapters. This man was an incredible. Chapter 18 says, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance, and then it joined himself with an affinity to Ahab, which he should never have done, but God helped him and delivered him out of that. What is it? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I not give you this? Thank you. Thank you. See, that's why I have a wonderful wife. You should know this. Can't you pick this up in the spirit? 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Thank you, honey. And if something happens and I don't give you a scripture sometimes, just do what Candy did if she's not here. Pastor, we love you, but you're ahead of us and you're not telling us what you're doing. So 2 Chronicles. So you could find out how that this guy, because I want you to understand something again, that this is not just some kind of Bible story that doesn't really relate, or that this is something that I want you to understand the magnificence of how powerful this king really was, and what really came up against him as a result of him following God. And so, first of all, let me just say, if for reading purposes, if you were to look back in chapter 17, you go into the numbering of his army. Verse 13 says, and he had much business in cities of Judah, and the men of war, mighty men, valor, were in Jerusalem. And if you go down through there, it talks about 300,000 and 400,000. So if you tabulate that up, his army, his marching army, it was at a pinnacle of the prosperity of, he really brought a pinnacle of prosperity and militaristic power to the nation of Judah, and his army was well over 1 million. I think it's 1.100,000 six 60 or something like that. It's really a lot. Way over a million. So that's impressive. Very impressive army. So when we get to chapter 20 here and we read it, it almost sounds like, and I don't know how, you know, how many years had passed between chapter 18 and 20, but the obvious fact is this, is that he had an incredible military. So when it looks like that he's overwhelmed by what was coming in, it's not saying that, I mean, this guy had, you know, nothing, 500 men to his, he had a very viable, huge military army at his disposal. But yet the odds, it must have been when you find out here in chapter 20, it says, and it came to pass also, or after this also, that the children of Moab, children of Ammon, and others besides Ammon, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And Mount Seir was a part of this, and I think it lists this, or maybe it does it in the other corresponding reading, which I believe is over in Kings. But these three nations, Ammon, Mount Seir, and Moab, Ammon and Moab were cousins to the Jews. And I'll just tell you real quick, we need to get up here and praise, that when Lot left Sodom and he had that real icky, he impregnated his two daughters that night, two nights back to back. One had the Amorites and the other one had the Moabites. And they became great nations themselves over in Canaan. And so 430 plus or many more years than that even, when Joshua goes into Canaan, the Lord said, don't touch them. And he had to bypass them. They actually were family. And since they were family, they were half, you know, they were cousins to the Jews. And so the Lord said, don't touch them. And so this is part of Jehoshaphat's army here, argument here. And it says here, and there came some that told Jehoshaphat, verse 2, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of Syria and beyond. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar of En-Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask and help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. I know I'm reading kind of fast here, but we need to move on. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord and before the new court and said, O Lord, our God, our Father of our fathers, art thou God in heaven that rulest over all of the kingdoms of the heathens, and in the hands there is not power, is in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee the sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, he said this, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as the sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, he's in Solomon's temple, it's still there, and cry unto thee in our afflictions, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade. Again, that's the story I just told you. When they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how that they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. The enemy always hated the Jews. That's another lesson, and I can't get off on that. But he's always wanted to destroy them. Probably the most hated people and persecuted people generation after generation on the planet, for the purpose as they had a call to bring the Messiah into, and we're going to read the dragon's prophecy, another advertisement on that. And verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we not what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, their little ones, their wives, and their children. And then on Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jizrael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jezreel. And you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with thee. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping him. And then the Levites and the children of Kohathites and the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel, the Lord God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear ye, O Jerusalem, or Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye prosper. Believe in us, and this is often quoted, believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Believe the Lord, I repeat this, your God, so you shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army to say, praise ye the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. That's what they were saying, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing, now let me stop at verse 22. It sounds like they went out on the morrow, and they did. They left the next day. And I just read, and we didn't read, but you can go back and read the script on chapter 18, I think it was. Over 1 million in his army. And I don't know how close that army was. You can't hardly gather an army sometimes just right on the spot. But maybe the 12 tribes are out throughout. The northern tribes have already went in. So it's just Judah. It's just Judah and Benjamin. And so I don't know how quickly he could have gathered men. But let's say he's able to gather thousands. Because if he's got 1 million, let's say he's able to gather thousands. So it's not like we've got this happy little church, you know, of us going out, which we're symbolic of an army of the Lord. But this is maybe hundreds of thousands of people that have assembled to go out. And it's not like he doesn't have an army. He does have an army. He's expected, we're probably going to have to fight. But it sounded like there was an innumerable amount of people. I don't know. What does that mean? It doesn't tell us. I looked all over for history. Maybe I'll find it. And I don't know if there's any kind of history that gives us the total number of Mount Seir, Moab, and Amorites. But it must have had must have been in the hundreds of thousands and it had taken them weeks probably to get there to the wilderness of Tekoa, there in Engedi. And so this is a place called Jehoshaphat's Valley now, where that battle took place. And it really wasn't a battle, but they left that morning. But we've got, you know, if you understand this, and this will help you, because the next verse is very important for our understanding, is that it sounds like they left and they walked across the street. Actually, and I looked and looked and looked, and so I don't know how to take this, because you'll find so many different, excuse me, historians that'll give you certain things as far as the distance. So they were walking, obviously the army was. There might have been some on horseback. But I've got in my notes from when I did a study before, that it was 28 miles. Now, I've got some that'll give me up to 95 miles, and some was even close as 15 miles. If you're walking at a 3-mile-an-hour pace, it's still going to take you all day. Some commentaries that I read was it was a two, they had to walk for 2 days to get to where they're going. So it's not like the army left, they walk, they were at least from here to La Belle. That's a long ways when you don't have a car to get there. So they were at least all day, maybe the next day, getting there. But this is very important to this whole story. In verse 22, it says, "And when they began to sing," this is what he told them, "say this, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. And the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir." This is part of our confession that there be confusion in the enemy's camp. And we're not saying people are our enemies, but satanic spirits are the enemies of God. "And Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy the other. And when Judah came towards the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked." Now get this for just a moment, and this is important, is that the Bible says that when they begin to worship the Lord, or when they begin to, how far were they away? It didn't happen when they got there and were worshiping the Lord. It happened that moment. It happened that moment in the spirit realm. So it may have been 24 hours to 48 hours. It was at least a day's journey. When they got there, they did not see the fray. That didn't happen then. They weren't watching. Wow, these guys are, look at this. Thousands of men in a fight against each other. I thought that we were coming here to fight them. They're fighting each other. They didn't see the fray. All they saw was the aftermath of the fray. So hours and hours, or maybe 2 days before it ever happened, the moment they left Jerusalem on their trek to Tekoa, they began to praise the Lord. And at that moment in the spirit realm, things begin to happen. So what we've got to understand is what we don't worship the Lord for the moment. We praise the Lord for what he's going to do at that moment, but when it needs to happen. And what we're going to do this morning is to worship the Lord and to praise the Lord and to give worship to the Lord in expectation that even if we come in here Wednesday, or you tune in Wednesday, and we say, okay, we're going to live and survive and be blessed under an administration that we know was not God sent, still we would have done our part today. And God is saying to us, I want your authority, as well as everybody that's watching, I want your authority to stand up and to worship me with an exuberance of believing that the same thing I did for them, that I'm going to do for you. And it says this, "And when Jehoshaphat," in verse 25, "and his people came," or verse 24 again, "and when Judah came to the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth." And this is, I love this. The writer had to put in there, none escaped. Now that's theoretic. I mean, that's just impossible, that if you've got thousands of guys, that at some point you wouldn't say, wait a minute, why are we killing each other? Let's just kind of slow down here. There was such a, you know, God, somebody said, God is not the author of confusion. He's not to us, but to our enemies, he becomes complete pandemonium. He takes the dimension of their minds, their demented minds, and turns it into a fast track of destruction against them. So much so that they're so confused. The enemy is a twister. He twists and perverts. He cannot live. He has to have good to exist. Good can exist without evil, but evil has to have good to exist, because evil is predicated on twisting good. Does that make sense? That's why good will always survive, because it's before all things. And we're going to win. Hallelujah. Either way, we're going to win. But we're sending this into the spirit realm, along with millions of other Christians that have heard their commander in chief. Then we're going to go home and enjoy. This is what, let me read one more scripture. I love this. This was another time in Ezra, Nehemiah. It's just before Esther. When the children of Israel came back, and after their bondage, and they were being restored, and Ezra, the priest, was reading the word of God to them after they came back after their Babylonian bondage, and the group of them came back. And they wept. Once they heard the word of God that had been kept from them for decades, they heard the word of God and they began to weep and cry and mourn, because it just broke their hearts how far they had fallen. But Ezra stood up before the people and he began to encourage them. And he said unto them in verse 10, he said, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them to whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the Levites stilled all the people, saying, "Hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved." And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's do that. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And anybody that's so don't leave us. If you're sitting on your couch at home, that's fine. But pat your foot at least. And I'm going to ask everyone to please, once again, come to the front. I need all the worshipers. This is symbolic. I don't care. You said, "Pastor, I really don't feel like it." I don't care what you don't feel like. But come, please, and just worship the Lord with us. Yes, please. And let's just spend some time. And this is symbolic of what we're doing is we're piercing the darkness. Your worship is piercing the darkness. And we're going to do that in proclamation. So come on, everybody. Come on. And you can just move in a little closer. Hallelujah.
Our praise is a weapon. It's more than a sound. Oh, our praise is the shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to pray. Your love. I'll be leaning on my beloved. I know the end of the story. I come back on the will. 'Cause you love me so high in love, so wide in love, so deep in love, so long in love, so high in love, so wide in love, so deep in love, so long in love, so high in love, so wide in love, so deep in love, so long in death, no life, no angels, no powers, present things or things in the future, height, no death, no any created thing could separate me from your love, death, no life, no angels, no powers, present things or things in the future, height, no death, no any created thing could separate me from your strong love, your strong love. Yes, your love is so high in love, so wide in love, so deep in love, so long in love, so high in love, so wide in love, so deep in love, so long in love, so high in love, so wide in love, so deep in love, so long in love, so high in love, so wide in love, so deep in love, so long in death, no life, no angels, no powers, present things or things in the future, height, no death, no any created thing could separate me from your death, no life, no angels, no powers, present things or things in the future, height, no death, no any created thing could separate me from your strong, your strong love, your strong love, and it's your strong love, your strong love, yes, it's your strong love, your strong love, it's your strong love, your strong love, it's your strong love, your strong love, it's your strong love, your strong love.
Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Testing. Yeah, I guess you can hear. Glory. Hallelujah. Pull me up, Marty. Hallelujah. We're going to do that again. You guys are doing okay, but I need you to spread out a little bit. Everybody's a little tight, like you're scared. And yeah, I like that. I ain't scared. You ain't scared of no ghost. Hallelujah. I brought the kids in to give you guys some examples. Because some of you are a little tight. I need some of you adults to dance a little bit. Hallelujah. I asked you to bring your tennis shoes, but that's all right if you didn't. But act like you got your tennis shoes on. And he's going up there to dance with his daddy, and that's okay. Hallelujah. But I need, Marty, are you coming up to fix AC or what? You're coming up. But then after that, Marty, I need you to come up here and stand beside me because you're one of the best in the past. Hallelujah. And Marty's healed. I don't know how Marty's feeling this morning, but Marty's healed. Hallelujah. So Marty, when you get something adjusted, come up here and stand with me. Hallelujah. And I don't need you to be stiff. Turn to somebody and say, this is not a time to get stiff. It's time to get loose in the spirit. Hallelujah. And I need the kids to dance and the adults to dance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Go ahead, guys. Amen.
Things in the future. all come back from the wilderness. And I've been leaning on my beloved. I know the end of the story. I'll come back from the wilderness. Cause your love is so high in love, so wide in love, so deep in love, so long in love, so high in love, so wide in love, so deep in love, so long in love, so high in love, so wide in love, so deep in love, so long in death, no light, no angels, no powers, present things, no things in the future, height, no death, no any created thing could separate me from your love, death, no light, no angels, no powers, present things, no things in the future, height, no death, no any created thing could separate your strong love, strong love, your strong love, it's your strong love. Leaning on my beloved, I know the end of the story. I come back from the wilderness, and I've been leaning on my beloved. I know the end of the story. I come back from the wilderness. Oh, yes, your love is so high in love, so wide in love, so deep in love, so long in love, so high in love, so wide in love, so deep.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Say this with me, Lord,
it's in your hands.
We've done our part.
We release your glory.
And we say,
we win.
You win.
And we're in revival.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. I will see you all Wednesday night in victory.
Hallelujah.
Have a wonderful day.
Blessings to you all.
Hallelujah.
And Harry's going to send out a text.
No service tonight.
Okay.